You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, my friend? Where are you at today?
This is our office. I rode my bike from Bayview to Washington Heights area, Elite Street.
Okay. Let me ask you, Education Department to cut half its staff. Now, I don't know. I got to reach out to Ted, your brother, and we got to get him on to hear his thoughts. But in the absence of that, Education Department to cut half its staff as Trump vows to shut down agency. The U.S. Education Department said on Tuesday it would lay off nearly half its staff, a precursor to closing altogether as government agencies scrambled to meet President Donald Trump's deadline to submit plans for a second round of mass layoffs. Determinations are part of the department's final mission, it said in a press release alluding to Trump's vows to eliminate the department, which oversees $1.6 trillion in college loans, enforces civil rights laws in schools, and provides federal funding for needy districts. Dr. Craig, tell me why shutting down the Department of Education makes sense.
Ooh, that's a really tough question, Earl. I guess you have to like change the frame entirely and saying the point is to break things and to show we can do it and get away with it. Because I mean, even conservatives, business leaders think education is critical. You don't have to be someone who thinks that education makes a well-rounded citizen and people who are better able not only to pursue their dreams, but to also be good citizens, right? Which I think is the case. But even beyond that, corporate leaders are desperate for well-trained, capable workers and not just trained in one thing, able to learn new things because technology and work styles are constantly changing. And conservatives like to complain about education being broken in some way and therefore needing to be fixed, right? So, and there doesn't seem to be based on any plan. Like, we want to achieve these outcomes instead of these outcomes, and therefore we want to change the Department of Education in this way. Instead, it's sending a bunch of 19 to 25-year-olds who think they're playing some sort of video game, right, of world making and becoming Elon Musk one day, just to fire people willy-nilly, it appears. I mean, my goodness, when they went to NIH, they fired the people who were working on Ebola, for example, and who wants to let Ebola spread, even if you won't care about the people in Africa, right, who are directly in the line of fire for that horrible disease. And so you're right. In terms of K-12 education, not only does it provide a lot of resources to all districts, it has a special focus, since it was created in 1970 in the Carter administration, to really equalize things and try to help districts that are underfunded and under-resourced and tends to be lower income and marginalized communities, right, and rural communities.
Right.
And so it really is, because you know how it is in Wisconsin, it's true everywhere else, it's true in Illinois. How much money you have for your schools depends on the value of your property. And of course, wealthier people and upper middle class people have moved out to suburbs so they can have better schools for their kids and then not necessarily participate in the education of all kids. The education department tries to equalize that. And then for student lending, and it used to be a lot more Pell Grants, but it's become a student loan based system, which is problematic. But my goodness, that is a huge, complicated system. And there are always issues with students not getting the debt forgiveness they're supposed to get for doing, for example, social service jobs that are valued to the community, or going into underserved areas if you're a doctor and go into a rural area or an underserved urban area, and also and all the payment plans and whether they're being applied appropriately. So things just aren't going to work. But since it's there, seems to be their view that government doesn't do anything, it's just corrupt, it's just a deep state, let's throw it out, then they'll turn around and say, see, it's not working, so we should get rid of, we should drown the baby in the bathwater, to quote one of their theorists, Grover Norquist, on what their ultimate goal is.
So, Dr. Craig, I don't understand. Are they after the $1.6 trillion? To say that states will handle this themselves, how does the money then go? Who determines whether how much money goes to each state if it's not the educational education department? Who fills that bill now? I mean, do they just drop all of that? Have they thought that through?
Of course not, because they're not thinking about that, Earl. In other words, the idea they have some plan how this is going to work, dumping things on the states means having an excuse and blaming someone else if it doesn't go well, even though states do not have nearly the revenue base the federal government does.
Right.
You want to do things that have a huge repercussion for the future, pay off for a lifetime. Things like education should be more federally funded than they are now, not less, actually. But as far as student loans and student financial aid, the system just isn't going to work. I mean, look at the IRS. They say that they're firing IRS officials, and it's very clear. The research is clear. All that does is mean you collect less taxes. So there's tax cheats get away with things, especially well-heeled tax cheats that, like Donald Trump. Remember, he doesn't pay many taxes, so that makes him smart. A quote. And so, they're claiming, giving lip service to why we have to take health care away from people, Medicaid, because of the deficit. But doesn't matter giving $4.5 trillion in tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires, and then it certainly doesn't matter when we're slashing the IRS and the consequences of damaging the already underfunded education system in this country that's fallen behind our major competitors. It's just destructive. It's hard to see this anything other than just wanton, let's break things because we don't like it.
You know, Dr. Craig, as I've been watching, you know, what is going on, and there's so many different things, I mean, you know, that really are alarming. But one of them is the Democrats are in a position, if they have courage, to not support and let Republicans off the hook with this budget battle, right? I mean, if they have the courage, they and none of us want to see people suffer. But should the Democrats do anything to support Republicans in this government shutdown fight? I mean, Democrats are worried that they're going to be held accountable. Why are they worried about those things, Dr. Craig? Why should they support anything that lets the Republicans off the hook? People are going to be hurt either way it goes, long-term with Republican policies or short-term with government being shut down. I mean, I'm not advocating that, you know, you hurt people. But, Dr. Craig, people are going to be hurt long-term with what by these policies of Republicans. What is your stand on this budget showdown?
Well, since we have an unconstitutional shredding of the laws and the Constitution of this country, because the Department of Education is authorized by Congress, the appropriations and funding in it and the personnel to carry out that mission has already been passed by Congress in law and signed by a president. There's a way to repeal it. It's not just sending Doge's millions in to start firing people and start reaping havoc. So I think that you cannot cooperate, because this budget is going to keep the government funded. But of course, they're saying that it's discretionary upon Donald Trump and Elon Musk what they do and don't do, regardless of what comes, what is passed as a law. And so the House, at the first stage of the process, only one Democrat didn't vote, cooperated. That was Congressman Golden from Maine, who's a real moderate. And one Republican who thought it wasn't enough voted no, and he then got primary him. Donald Trump is making threats against him, of course, and Elon Musk is. But in the Senate, they're going to need a whole 10 Democrats to go with them, or 7 Democrats. And it is to be determined. The Senate is a place with a fair number of these kind of moderate Democrats. I don't think they should frame it, and I think they've done a good job of this, as we want to shut the government down. I mean, the Democrats, you know, they are the party of making government work for people, right? But we can't authorize this kind of lawlessness. They've developed all of these proposals without any Democratic involvement, just on their own, right. And they can go pass them with their own votes. And they were able to do it in the House. Some people were surprised by that. But in the Senate, they have to have Democratic votes. So what should happen is, they negotiate with the Democrats in the Senate, safeguards are put in, and then it goes back to the House, and then the House Republicans have to decide whether they're shunning the government or not. Because if the Senate bill is different than the House bill, then the House will have to take up the Senate bill or not.
Is there enough time for all of that to transpire? You know, I'm looking at, Senate Democrats say the 6-month government funding resolution that passed the House Tuesday is horrible, but there's growing sentiment within the Senate Democratic Conference that it would be too risky to block the legislation and risk government shutdown that could drag on for weeks. Senate Democrats battled behind closed doors Tuesday over how to handle the House bill, with a number of Democrats, especially those in swing states, arguing a government shutdown must be avoided, even if it means reluctantly voting for a House GOP-drafted bill. Your thoughts, Dr. Craig, on that? 855-752-4842. Our phone line's open, as always. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on board. You know, Dr. Craig, it is complex, the situation that the Democrats find themselves in. But, I don't see several centrists warned there's no clear end game for ending a government shutdown if Democrats defeat the House passed measure, which would increase defense spending by $6 billion, boost funding for border security, but yet cut non-defense programs by $13 billion. I don't see how you support that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the $1 billion cut from the District of Columbia's budget. I mean,
yes.
they already don't have the rights of other citizens, kind of a colonial possession of Congress. Now you're just going to, for a billion and for just part of a year? I mean, really? So they've already forced them to get rid of Black Lives Matter Plaza, right? I don't see how they could vote for it. It sounds like you had read something disturbing about how they're moving towards that they have to vote for it. But the Democratic position has been, because a lot of Democratic rank and file people and progressives generally are pushing them to do more. And they're saying, but we don't have a majority. We don't have any leverage. Well, here comes the first leverage, right? And so you can't just say that, oh, but we can't look like we're closing the government. No, they're closing the government.
Yes.
Because they're acting unconstitutionally, and they, if they want to keep the government open, they should, and they need Democratic votes, then they need to find common ground with Democrats. And therefore, there need to be, now we won't get everything we want, but there needs to be some restraints on what is going on with DOGE and with the illegal cancellation of appropriated money and closure of agencies and mass firings that make it impossible to supervise and manage programs that are mandated by law.
You know, Dr. Craig, this thing just gets worse and worse and worse, and it stinks to high heaven. What is taking place in this nation? You've been at this a long time, Dr. Craig, and what they are doing is, I mean, they're not hiding anything. They're doing it in broad daylight. And they've taken over the government. There has to be some fight, right? I mean, where does it come from, Dr. Craig? I was talking the other day about a rally that they had here in Racine. And, you know, people on the street with signs. And to me, you know, are we waiting on politicians? Can they turn this around, Dr. Craig, politically? You've already said that they're totally dismissing the way the government runs. They don't think the government has any value unless it's Republicans who are in government. And so, you know, how do you even begin to dismantle it? And it's only 7 weeks.
Well, right. This is a lot of energy here. I think a lot of it's for spectacle. In other words, it's enacting authoritarianism by showing we can do it, right? We have constant action. You can't stop us, and we're going to do. And in fact, it seems like meanness is baked into it, like
right.
Cancellation of food aid and you know, infectious disease treatment for the poorest people in the world. This used to be something that what was a great credit to this country. Now it's like there's no empathy whatsoever, right? I mean, except for himself and Trump's and supposed grievances against him, right? And slights and abuses. And so part of it is that traditional political leadership has less of a role when this starts to happen. So I think that was implied in your question a bit. So this becomes a matter of social movements putting pressure on the system, but the kind of leadership we get from elected officials needs to change, right? This is not the old, I go to Congress and I play by the rules and I build up my seniority and I write my bills and you know, I do what I can. That is no longer sufficient. And there's been umbrage reported several times, different media sources within some of the Democratic leadership in Congress that they're being asked to do all these things. Well, this is the new assignment, right? Maybe you preferred some more docile age of normal business and go along and get along, but that is not the age we're living in right now. And you've got to do something to challenge what you're seeing here, right? Which is a destruction of what is left of the social safety net and of American civil society.
You know, Dr. Craig, Al Green and what Al Green did is what we need to see. We don't need to see Democrats saying we're going to censor him. He shouldn't have done that. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for those to just get along, Dr. Craig, are we?
Well, we're going to stand on some notion of decorum. What kind of decorum is going place with DOGE, right? Like there was a smaller aid agency that aids Africa that was not part of USAID, and the DOGE children arrived with their backpacks to go and destroy it, and they were turned away by the staff. And so they came back with private security and busted their way in the next day and then went and did what they were gonna do. And so, this is decorum, right? Is there decorum with Donald Trump's and J.D. Vance's treatment of a war hero, Vladimir Zelensky, or this various tariff stuff? I'm going to have a 50% tariff on Canada, no 25%.
Yeah.
And the stock market goes up and down like a gyroscope.
855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, will come to you guys, I promise you.
We moved to another region in Mississippi called the Delta. And we lived between two rivers. One was the Yazoo, and the other was the Tallahatchie. It was a 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day. I was out chopping cotton and my brother was baling hay. And at dinner time we stopped and walked back to the house to eat. And mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action is on board. Dr. Craig, before we go to the phone lines, Capital Agenda, Johnson put Senate Dems in the corner. This is in today's Political. House Republicans passed their stopgap funding bill Tuesday evening, which means Senate Democrats can now no longer delay the long-dreaded decision. Do they give up a chance to stand up to Donald Trump or let the government shut down in 3 days?
I think they let the Republicans shut the government down in 3 days. This is just literally extortion. They had no role in developing this bill.
Right.
There need to be that the only leverage to get controls on unconstitutional shredding of the powers of the congressional branch of government, the first article of the Constitution. And I'm reading some of the back and forth over the break. I mean, a number of senators are saying that and members of Congress, but the question is there this mushy middle? But there's going to be hell to pay from the grassroots, that's clear. And so, and there's a lot of criticism of Chuck Schumer and support. Some are happy that he's left it to the caucus to debate out. Others think that the leader should have a strategy. Shouldn't just be sitting there as a neutral party. And how do you get to a consensus in this short amount of time? But this was a predictable thing. If they're just starting to debate it now, and I don't know what the internal workings of the Senate Democratic Caucus are, then that was a huge mistake. You could not just assume that the Republican House members couldn't pass a budget. At this point, Donald Trump is at the top of his powers. His honeymoon is still fully in effect, maybe not as far as the public, but as far as elected Republicans are willing to bend to his wishes.
All right, let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Morning. Well, I think that all this dodgy stuff and this stuff that they're doing, outrageous, you know, break-ins. And I mean, the last time somebody broke in, it was a guy by the name of
Watergate.
Nixon, and he resigned. Right. Yeah. Anyway, and more seriously, what this is all about is they're trying to do a couple of things. They're trying to take the reserve that is kept for Social Security. They want to throw it into the Wall Street casino. They want to do the same thing with any built-up funds that are in Medicare. And they want to keep everybody from thinking about this. They want to keep them thinking about everything else maybe even try and figure out a way to cut those programs and simply keep people from, you know, figuring this out. They're trying to find $4 trillion to give away to themselves and their billionaire buddy. That's what this is really all about. Anything else, that's all distraction. My opinion, for what it's worth.
Thank you very much, Jack. Dr. Craig?
Yeah, I think Jack is right about keeping an eye on the ball. I mean, the way I imagine this, if you imagine a small 19th century town when the circus comes to town and there's all the circus elephants and the clowns, and painted ladies and everything else, that actually that's the best time to rob the bank. So try to pay attention to what matters, but Trump constantly has new magic tricks, new unbelievable things you've never seen before to put before you, so the are going on. Because it really is a matter of spectacle, and then this testosterone-driven, I'm a man, I can do what I want, I don't have to listen to anyone. So it does have to be stood up to. And but we'll see if the Senate, this is the problem President Biden had, having the Democrats are not a unified party in many ways, and they can be mostly unified. Remember, we were really only 1-2 votes short of getting a lot more done the Biden administration, but you need those 1-2 votes.
Right, right.
In case, are there the 7 Democratic votes to go with the Republicans? There, we already know Fetterman is going to do that, and he's a strange actor. You never know.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed in Fetterman, man. He is a strange bird. He got in, you know, by the skin of his teeth. And he's certainly shown himself to be untrustworthy.
So I guess we're going to know by Friday, maybe earlier. At this point, there really isn't a public whip count, as they call it. But it's going back and forth. I'm reading media coverage that they may not have the votes to do it anyway. But there's a real back and forth here. And you have to watch independent kind of players. You need to look at Angus King. You need to look at Warner from Virginia. Some of those kind of actors. I mean, others that you'd expect have been outspoken. There's no chance Chris Murphy's voting for this. There's no chance Raphael Warnock's voting for this.
Right.
I've not heard, maybe you have, Earl, anything from Tammy Baldwin.
I have not heard anything from her. And you know, it's really critically important that we hear from them now. Let's go back to the phone lines. Eric from Tulsa is up next. Hey, Eric, you say what, sir?
Morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr.
Good morning.
Speaking of what they've been saying, you know, the world's richest man baby recently called Senator Mark Kelly a traitor over his trip, you know, to Ukraine, who I last checked was still our ally. So I don't see how that's traitorous, but it's really time for our elected Democratic representatives to throw themselves on the gears of the machine. A few of them are doing it, and I applaud them, but they got to filibuster this CR and force the Republicans to negotiate. Senators have already been calling for a short-term spending bill. So in the end, this is going to be totally on the GOP, which is why they're out there pre-blaming the Democrats.
Right.
And for the looming tax cut, I think it's actually a bit of a distraction. It's horrible, of course, but really like false choice voucher schools stealing billions of dollars from our public education system creates smaller and smaller budget requirements. Isn't what DOGE is doing just setting things up for the massive budget cuts they're going to make on October 1st? And like public education, isn't the end goal really to privatize everything? And lastly, on a local politics thing, I was at a GOP rally last weekend and saw Brittany Kinzer yard signs alongside Brad Schimmels, and Moms for Liberty, Turning Point Action, and the John Birch Society were tabling there. So could you, Dr. Craig, speak to the statewide elections coming up and what Wisconsinites can do to get the word out before the April 1st election?
Well, I would say to you, Eric, to make sure
you're
tuned in, because I have Brittany Kinzer on what date is it? On Monday. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Sure, I'll respond to the spring election. I agree with what the caller said about the national situation. We have an absolutely critically important race. Our organization, Citizen Action Wisconsin, which has members across the state, is both doing deep canvas phone banking, where we have real conversations, and knocking on doors on weekends. And we'd love people to get involved. You can find us at Citizen Action's website, or look at our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram feeds. But it's going to be extremely close, and one of the most expensive Supreme Court, the most expensive Supreme Court election in American history.
It already is.
The last one has $5 million and counting that we can count from Elon Musk. I've done our phone bank 2 weeks now. We started last week, and 3 weeks actually. And I think that Crawford is doing pretty well. So I'm not saying she has it in the bag, but I'm saying there are a lot of people who know about that race and have decided to vote for Crawford. So I'm not worried that it's going to be a blowout for Schimmel, but I think that Schimmel has a base, obviously. I'm really worried about Department of Public Instruction race, Earl. People have not heard about Underly. I mean, most Crawford voters have not heard of Underly. And the Marquette poll has some pretty disturbing stuff about public education for Brittany Kinzer to play into. So there was this needless division where Underly's bad communication caused a lot of dissent, and then it produced an opponent. And it's the fact that she had an opponent on the Democratic side that brought Brittany Kinzer to the race. Now that she's extremely well-funded, this is the best chance. Wisconsin Right to Life, I don't usually agree with them, but they're saying that this is the best chance ever for voucher supporters to capture Department of Public Instruction. And I have to agree with Wisconsin Right to Life on that. So people should get engaged and be very worried about that race. Obviously, we all know how important the Supreme Court race is.
All right, let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much. You say what?
I just want to make three points real quick. First, Trump just had the press kicked out of a CEO's meeting right when it's time for him to start answering some questions to these CEOs. Second, does anybody remember the Truth Social post that he made right as we were getting closer to the election, saying how great the market was doing because the big people with big money knew he was going to win? But now all you hear from the paid mouthpiece at the presser is, A, we're dealing with all these Biden problems. No, you're not. He tanked it. And then she has the audacity to tell a reporter, how dare you question my zero knowledge about tariffs in front of cameras, okay? And now we have the idiot in the White House filming car commercials in front of our White House. I'm disgusted. And Mr. Hess, I sure hope that, you know, your wonderful statements here come to fruition. But the problem's going to be for you, James Hess, is that every time you go to the people in the state for tax dollars, for schools, All they do is scream and wiggle and cry. So I hope when your kids, your young kids there, get to public school, that everybody all of a sudden wants to pay more taxes so that your kids get a good public school, because the state should be in charge and we shouldn't give any federal funding to public schools.
Hey,
have a great day.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig will let you respond. Guys, hang on the phone lines. I promise you we'll get to all of you. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with the one and only Dr. Craig on the Earl Ingram Show.
To the house to eat. And Mama hollered at the back door, y'all remember to wipe your feet. And then she said, I got some news this morning from Choctaw Ridge. Today Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Papa said to Mama as he passed around the black-eyed peas. Well, Billy Joe never had a liquor since. Pass the biscuits, please. There's 5 more acres in the lower 40 I got to plant. And Mama said it was a shame about Billy Joe. Seems like nothing ever comes to no good up on Choctaw Ridge.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Iris going round, Papa caught it and he died last.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, Texas, that same number. Let's hit these phone lines. Rita, you're up next. Thank you for the call. Rita from La Crosse.
Hi, Earl.
Hello.
Hi, Earl.
Hello.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I want to say, quit calling them entitlement. We've paid for this. Our whole life, and it's time for us. Actually, they're an insurance policy, and they keep calling them entitlements.
I don't disagree with you, and I know that my Social Security that I'm collecting is not an entitlement. So, thank you very much for that information. Let's go to I think we're up to Mark. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Hello, this is Mark.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Earl, really quick, a correction to yesterday, remark yesterday, and then I want to mention the Democrats. Anyway, the quick correction is yesterday you mentioned that on Monday you were at a Racine Coalition for Peace and Justice rally, but that wasn't RCPJ people were there, including me, but that was not sponsored by them. Just a quick correction.
Okay, I stand corrected. Go ahead, sir.
You mentioned Fetterman. I agree with your remarks. And there's a fellow, he died a few years ago, Sheldon Wolin. He spoke of it, what he called inverted totalitarianism, which in a nutshell equals rule by corporations. You know, they're, quote, people now, and money is speech and all that stuff. Anyway, he characterized the Democrats as an inauthentic opposition. And, you know, when you have actual some Democrats coming down on Al Green, for instance, and there's actually many instances, it's like, it's just nutty. It's just too often they're ineffective. Anyway, that's my remark.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you for the correction. Tom, you're up next.
Yeah, Earl. You know what? The Democrats need to make this as easy as a layup. They need to say on media, on the news, on everywhere that they can, that, hey, you know what? You give us the majority in the Senate. You give us the majority in the House. and you give us a good majority in those two places, I'll guarantee you we're a party that's for good government, that we won't shut it down. But right now, we're powerless. We have no power. We are a party right now that is in the wilderness, and the Republicans have the House, the Senate, the presidency, and the Supreme Court. That's it. And stop trying to get into all this word and stuff like that. We don't have power. We don't have power, therefore, we can't do anything. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Up next, Ali. Hey, Ali, you say what?
Well, first off, I think Trump and Elon Musk are drinking too much of their snake oil from the circus there. And I do believe that the Democrats should stand firm, make a plan of what they want out of the bill and what they would put in the bill, and put that in front of the Republicans. And then, like Mr. Craig said, if the government ends up shutting down, it's their fault. And I believe that a majority of people would rather see a week, 2-3 weeks shut down than the continuing chaos that we have right now.
Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to any of that?
Don't have power, so we don't maybe misunderstood it. We shouldn't therefore expect them to exercise it. There's a lot of forms of power that aren't having official office. I mean, Martin Luther King had no power, so to speak. Mahatma Gandhi had no power. Most of the major liberation movements to overturn authoritarian governments around the world have not had official power. So we need to exert what power we have, and there is some leverage. Like, they have to agree to keep the government open. They don't have to swallow things like are in this resolution, like the $1 billion cut to the District of Columbia, like the $20 billion away from IRS enforcement, like the massive increase in ICE and in defense spending that is also in this continuing resolution. I agree with that. The other caller had a good point too, but I answered a previous caller, Earl, the last caller.
Yes, you mean, I think it was Tom. But I don't remember his.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, but no, anyway, go ahead, Dr. Craig. You know, Dr. Craig, after it's all said and done, it's trying times. We'll get through it. Will the Democratic Party learn from this?
If it's going to be a serious vehicle, one of the earliest callers mentioned Sheldon Wolin, a great political philosopher. If you understand political philosophy, read his books on them. But inverted totalitarianism, where there's a corporate control that's invisible, that's still going on. And that's something we need to understand. The visible part, as some of your callers have been saying, is all of the visible spectacle of Musk and of Trump, right? But there's still a lot of corporate hands and shaping behind this, which make them liberal. But the Democrats need to be a legitimate opposition party, and they're not currently unified to do it. Some of them are there, some of them aren't.
Hey, Dr. Craig, thank you as always. We'll talk soon. Up next, Jane, Matt, Ned, Greg, Bach. Thank you very much, Cardi. See you guys on tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.